presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. You might be listening to WWBC 1510 AM or 100.7 on your FM dial. We thank you for tuning in as well. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's our privilege to spend the next half hour with you studying God's Word. And we want to start off today by saying thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804, for all that they do for helping us as a church and to bring this broadcast to you on this great radio station. So if you need any block or concrete work, give them a call. I talked to Brother Anderson this last week. He showed up bright and early, and he said, I'm not doing quite as much of the work anymore. I'm just there for the wisdom and the moral support and stuff like that. And so we're thankful for who they are. They do great, great work, and they've been a blessing to us, and I know that they would be a blessing to you if you need any block or concrete work done. We do want to take just a moment to let you know what is going on this weekend. This weekend, I'm going to be preaching the second in my sermon series. I thought it was just going to be one sermon, but it's going to turn out to be three sermons. Last Sunday, I preached on offense and, the biblical perspective on offense. This coming Sunday is our World Missions Banquet. It'll be Sunday night, and my message on Sunday morning will be on offense, not offense, but offense, as in we need to be taking the battle to the enemy, not waiting for the enemy to bring problems to us. There are people who are perishing, and we need to be a motivated people in reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you want to come out and be a part of that service, we have seats available, and we would love to have you join us Sunday night, our missions banquet. We've got a missionary that's going to be with us at 6:30, and he's going to be sharing his heart for the field. They're going to be the only missionaries in the nation that they are going to. So we're really looking forward to what God is going to do. Come be a part of that. It's not going to be the fanciest meal you ever had. My wife was praying about the menu and decided that we would go with a themed dinner that ties in with the nation of the missionary that's going there. And so like I said, not going to be the fanciest dinner, but it was something that I happened to eat a lot of when I was growing up. And it was one of those meals that it kind of sticks in your memory banks as just being one of your favorites. So we're excited about what's going to take place as we take a step of faith and believe God to empower us to do more in taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations than we've ever done before. So that will be coming up this week. Love for you to have it be a part of it. Also, one of the things that we have started doing, I'm trying to do, is Facebook Living our service, not the entire service, but the message portion of the service. And if you do not have a church, if you're on Facebook, you can go to Facebook and like us. We are Merritt Assembly of God. You could also find me. I'm Bob Arthurs. I think we're Facebook Living through the church's Facebook page, but then I post it on my wall after it's up there as well. So if you would care to see what my preaching is like, what I look like, and all of that sort of stuff, you can check that out. Normally that Facebook Live is going to go live somewhere between 11:15 and 11:30. just depending on how the rest of the service is going. So we have been talking about declarations because we need to know who we are in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 13, let me just turn over to that. Excuse me. John chapter 13, it says in verse number 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garment, took a towel, and girded himself." The service that Jesus did there was all because he knew who he was in God, knew where he'd come from, and knew where he was going. And, you know, if you are on the in a sporting contest, a lot of times there is what they call trash talking that is going on. They try and tell you how great they are and how pitiful you are and all of the embarrassing things that they are going to do to you, and they're going to make you look like a fool. But if you know who you are and you, in fact, know that you are better than they are, it doesn't matter what kind of trash talk they do to you. It's not going to have any bearing. You're just going to go out there. You're going to do your job, and you are going to excel, and you are going to win. The declarations that we're talking about, these are some from Craig Rochelle from Life Church in Oklahoma. They are responsible for the YouVersion Bible app that you can get on your smartphone. It's on my smartphone, and a lot of the young people, they have that on their phone, and that's I think it's phenomenal. So today we are going to talk about declarations that are true because of who we are in Jesus. So his first declaration that he talks about, that he we've already talked about some of them, but these are because of Jesus, and that is that I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am not a child of God because I say that I am a child of God. I am a child of God because God and his word tells me that I am a child of God. So in John chapter 1, verse number 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So we who believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, who died and shed his blood so that we could be forgiven of our sins, it is that belief, that confidence, that faith in Jesus Christ and accepting his substitutionary work, that's what makes us a child of God. When I have been adopted into the household of faith, I no longer think of myself as a stranger or a guest in someone's home. I think of myself as part of the family. And I've been told that in this culture, that if someone adopted you into their family, now, we're talking biblical culture here, that their responsibility was even greater because you were part of their family by choice than it was just for a natural child that may have been born. It was not a situation that could be undone very easily. And so I'm very thankful that God has chosen me and adopted me into the household of God. And so when you get up this morning, I want you to realize that you are a child of God. I'm not ashamed to be a son of the Most High God. There are a lot of people who go around. We used to call them back in when I was a teenager, people go around and they were undercover Christians. Nobody really knew that they were a Christian. They didn't necessarily know that they were a bad person. They thought that they were a pretty good person. They were just average, but they never talked about their relationship Well, I want you to know that Jesus is the most important person in my life. If we are going to have any sort of relationship at all, then we're going to have a common denominator. And for me, it is not the least common denominator. It is the greatest common denominator. And that is we need to be of like faith. We need to both be children of the Most High God. We both need Jesus as our Savior. That doesn't mean that I don't have relationships with people who aren't Christians yet. By exactly the opposite is true. It's just that that relationship may not be as close. There's going to be something that separates us because I'm on a path to please God. If you're not on a path to please God, then I need to take you and show you what the end of the road, end of your journey looks like so that you can make a detour off of that. I was talking to my parents on the phone last week. They deliver some things in the community that they live in. It's just one of the things that they do together. And my mother's the navigator, my father's the driver. And so I'm talking on the phone, and all of a sudden I hear them having this conversation. Look, there's a detour up ahead. There's something that is going on that is going to alter our course. And today I want you to know that God allows for detours. He allows for U-turns. He can come and pick you up, and he can place you on the right road. There was a time where I was headed for a meeting, and I needed to be at that meeting. It wasn't optional. It was a mandatory meeting, and we missed the turn that we were supposed to get off on. But rather than turn around at the next exit and go back, we looked on the map and we saw that there was this road that would take us where we needed to go. What we didn't know was that it was a logging road. It wasn't a paved road. It had rained the night before, and we found ourselves on a path that we did not enjoy traveling on. And I want you to understand that I've never been on that road since. We have made the adjustments that were necessary so that we never travel that path again. And if you have found that maybe the devil has convinced you that the path you were headed on was going to be a grand and glorious path, and all of a sudden you found out that it was filled with potholes and ruts and obstacles, and then instead of it being a nice, clean road, it's been a messy road. By the way, we were in somebody's... it wasn't my vehicle. A guy had borrowed his wife's brand new vehicle, and it was a muddy, muddy trip. He said, she is not going to like it when I return this vehicle. We never went on that road again. I want you to understand that life is hard. Life without God is even harder. Life as a child of God may not be always easy, but it's always going to be a wonderful journey because he's going to travel that with you. So whatever's going on in your world right now, say, I am a child of the Most High God. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 26 says this, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You are not a child of God just because you were born in America. You are not a child of God just because your parents went to church. You're not a child of God just because you go to church. You are only a child of God when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you, don't delay that and walk in your inheritance as a child of God. This second point that he has here that he makes about declarations is something that I feel very strongly about. And that is this, I am a spiritual contributor, not a spiritual consumer. I am a spiritual contributor, not a spiritual consumer. And so when he gets up every morning, he says, what am I going to be able to bring that's going to benefit other people around me? Not what am I necessarily going to be able to get out of this situation. If I'm not going to get anything out of it, then what am I doing even being here. I should go someplace else where it's going to have greater benefit to me. Paul was not a consumer. Paul was interested in going and taking the gospel places where the gospel had never been. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. But I want you to understand how important it is to be led by the Spirit of God, to allow God to position us and place us where we can be of great benefit to the body of Christ. Okay? Everybody should be bringing something to the table. In the Old Testament, it was said like this: no one should appear before God empty-handed. It didn't matter if you were rich or if you were poor, young, old, male, female, whatever. You, when you came before God, you were supposed to have something that you were bringing, as if you were appearing before a king. When people went to visit foreign dignitaries, they always took a gift with them that said, I want to leave you something to remember me by, and they would bring of the best that they have. And so I'm not here to say that, you know, we shouldn't be striving for being the best that we can be. We absolutely should. Hopefully I am a better communicator, a better pastor now than I was when I first started in this process. I know that I'm a better husband than I was when we first got married. I believe I am a better father now than I was when I didn't have a clue as to what I was doing. And so let me say this, and hopefully it'll come out right. There's a next stage in your life. You're currently at one stage in your life. There's something new that's going to take place in your life, whether it's like us last year, we became grandparents for the first time. That was a new stage. It's new blessings, but there's always a new stage that is coming up. Someone's already been to that stage, and so you need them in your life so that they can speak the wisdom that is necessary, because I don't want to have to make the same mistakes at that stage that other people made, when if I just avail myself of the counselors and the wisdom that God has blessed me with, then I can avoid some of the pain and the heartache that comes with failure. There are people who are currently at the same stage that we are, and we can be of benefit to one another. But there's also people who are currently at a stage in development where we used to be. And so you and I, we need to have one hand stretching forward to those who are further along in the road than we are. We need to have another hand that is stretched backwards to those who are not quite as far along on their journey as we are, so that we can be a contributor to them. I will tell you that there was a church that we visited one time. And it was the first visit we made there. If we had been a consumer, we would have never returned there. If we had been looking for what that place could do for us, we never would have returned there. If we thought that everybody was always going to treat us the way that they did that day, we never would have returned there. But God is our commander in chief. And he said, this is where I want you. Little did we know that was exactly where we needed to be. If I was a spiritual consumer instead of a spiritual contributor, I never would have accepted the pastorate at Merit Assembly of God, because it didn't have anything that was going to benefit me or my family. But God had given us a promise that he was going to pick us up, place us exactly where he wanted us, and caused us to be established and prosper after we had suffered a little while, out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. And we took that as a word and said, God, wherever you place us, we are going to make the most out of that opportunity. So I want to encourage you today to be looking to what you can bring to the table and do it in a manner. Don't go in like a bull in a china shop, if you will. You've got to go in. You've got to take the time, build relationships, and bring the contributions that you are able to bring. So Romans chapter 6, verse number 11, that's where our next point, and that is this: I am alive in Jesus Christ. I am alive in Jesus Christ. I am not here just to exist. I am here to be a living, functioning, abundant living, full of the life of God. That's what I am here to do. I used to be dead in trespasses and sins, but Romans chapter 6, verse number 10 and 11 says this: for the death that he died, Jesus, he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as you are going about this day, you need to make two declarations. First of all, I am dead to sin's controlling grip on my life. And the second declaration is, I am alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am going to live the life of an overcomer. I am going to live victoriously today because of Christ Jesus living in my heart. So my life is not just because I'm sitting upright and taking oxygen. I'm not living today just because I'm able to eat food and think. That's not it. I am alive in Christ Jesus. He created me for exactly this day, February the 16th, 2017. God, in his omniscient plan, he said, I need Bob Arthurs to be alive because I've got a task that I want to give to him. What a privilege to be serving God. The next declaration that he talks about is, because of Jesus Christ, I am a faith-filled, life-speaking, fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, I am a faith-filled, life-speaking, fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. So today, I pray that faith will arise in your heart and fear will lose its grip, that you will have great confidence in God and not fear of what may happen. I'm so thankful for people that I've seen God do great, great works in their life. They show maturity beyond their years. I'm very thankful for that when they see the way that the world operates, they said, you know what, there's a better way. And faith, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this story on the radio. So let me explain to you that when I asked my wife to marry me, the way that I did it was this. I said, I'm not asking you to take a walk of faith with me. I'm asking, would you take a leap of faith with me? Because the number one issue that we wanted to address before we agreed to marry was to make sure that God had orchestrated our relationship and that we had compatible callings. We wanted to make sure that we were going in the same direction, that we weren't just at an intersection in our lives, but it was two roads that were merging to become one highway. And so I said, look, I don't know where God's going to take us. I don't know how much money we're going to make. All I know is that I love Jesus. He called me into the ministry, and I'm going to go where he tells me to go. I'm going to do what he says for me to do. And he said that he will take care of us. And so I'm asking you, will you take a leap of faith with me? There are too many people who are afraid to pull the trigger on obedience, if you will, simply because they don't understand every detail of the plan. And I will just quite simply tell you this. I have found that this faith-filled, adventurous life that God leads me on, that many times I haven't understood what was coming. I just understood who was on the journey with me, and that Jesus was going to make it. He was going to take care of all of the details. I'm a life speaker. It does not take any specific skills to be a complainer. It does take the lordship of Jesus Christ over your tongue in order to speak life into the situation instead of death. And so today, I pray that if there's complaining going around in your office, maybe you put your earphones in, or just, you know, put a little some of those little styrofoam plugs in. Whatever you got to do, speak to yourself and say, you know what? I am not going to be one of those people who brings problems and complaining to the situation, because I'm fully devoted to Jesus Christ. I am going to speak life in that situation. If you have a job, I want you to do this. I want you to pray life for your employer. I want you to pray for them that they prosper. I pray that the doors are kept open. I pray that you will be the best department, that your managers will be the best that they could ever be. Speak life to that situation. Pray that you know, that's what the children of Israel were told to do about Babylon, and that was they were supposed to be a blessing while they were there. And so I pray that the words that come out of our mouths are edifying and they're life-filled. The first Adam was a living being. The second Adam, being Jesus, the scripture says, was a life-giving spirit. And so I am so thankful for the life that he gave to me. And so I pray that whenever you go, that people know where they can find a brother or sister, a child of God, who is going to be able to share with them a word of truth, a word of encouragement, a word of peace, a word of life that is going to sustain the weary. If there are people that you are in contact with right now that they are beat down by life, Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4 says that God wants to give you a word. He wants to waken us morning by morning to hear a word from the throne of grace that will sustain the weary. You be the messenger that brings that word of life. Today, be a faith-filled, life-speaking, fully devoted follower of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God bless you. You have a marvelous day. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."